Blog Talk Radio.
This is Jay Lethal, the undisputed champion of the wrestling world.
This is John Sullivan.
It's Babs Ayegbusi.
Michael Thompson talking to phenomenal AJ Styles.
Jay DeRosa.
Charles Johnson.
Psycho Killer Tommaso Ciampa.
This is Matt Blair. Thank you for listening to Sportscast Radio.
Sportscast Radio.
Welcome to Sportscast Radio.
Well protected again. Jones Waddles gets behind the defenders for another touchdown.
That is Trey Lance.
Kyle Pitts. And the tight end finds the goal line chalk for a Gator touchdown.
Justin Fields. Hello, Columbus. 51 yards.
Ja'Marr Chase.
8 different games, Sewell did not allow the guy pass rushing against him to pressure, hit, or sack the quarterback. 8 out of 12.
You got here just in time. Dax Milne down the sideline from Zach Wilson. And thanks for joining us.
Rashawn Bateman with his first career score as a Gopher.
What more can you say about Trevor Lawrence? He's going to be the number one pick in the NFL draft.
The best and they had the throne since Big is gone. If you ask me, they dead wrong. My flow is hotter than the flash from the click. When the hammer slaps the bullet on the ass from the clip. You wind up in a room full of my dogs. I have you feeling like a fire hydrant in a room full of dogs. So come now. Get pissed on. Shit it on.
Ladies and gentlemen, back week two. Talking at Draft Sportscast Radio live here at 10 o'clock. We're here till midnight tonight. Myself, Luke Gilbert, back in the booth with me, number two. That's 2 weeks in a row, Luke. And you got yourself a little sexy-ass headset this time, don't you?
I do, so now I can hear better. I don't sit here talking on a phone, and I'm here to stay, it sounds like. So you have to hear from me more often, I guess.
I'm excited. The draft talk, the football talk is always so much fun. We're going to be ramping up with this every week here as we continue to talk, you know, everybody that we can. Next week, we'll have some more people on, and then the day before, I guess we do our final, our 4.0 mock draft, because we will bring you our 2.0, where both of us had over half of our picks changed. Is you're still that same way?
Yes, I redid mine from what we spoke last night, and I still have about 15 to 16 changes this 2.0.
Jeez. Yeah, it's going to get wild. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of talk today with that Justin Fields. I was watching a bunch of it while I was laying in my bed in a sweaty cocoon dying. You know, I thought I was going to die today.
I thought you did die because I texted you at 2:30 about the show, and then I called you at 8:30 to make sure you were alive.
Yeah, I eventually managed to make my way across the street to the gas station. I got some ibuprofen, and that kind of helped a little bit. But I tell you what, for anybody who got their second shot, I hope you did not have the same struggles that I did because, my Lord, I have never been in a worse feeling situation in my entire life. At least I know it probably can't get any worse than that now. You know what I mean? But
yeah.
It is what it is. It's over with. It's done with. I'm ready to go. Like I said, I'm a consummate pro here, Luke. I will probably faint come 12:01 and you won't hear from me again.
All
right, we will get through these 2 hours coming up in just a couple minutes here. Travis Wakeman from PredominantlyOrange.com will be with us talking some Denver Bronco draft. Also, 10:30 or so, Paul Pickett Jr. from TheFinFanatic.com will be here talking some Dolphins. I have a brand new game of Uber Facts that I cannot wait to play to see if I can go 2-2 with the reboot of Sportscast Radio. And I'm feeling pretty good about myself. Otherwise, you know, I'm a little sweaty right now. You know, I'm still kind of making it work, but I'm excited, man. It's this draft just constantly feels, every time I look at things, like it just keeps evolving. And I know most drafts are always unpredictable and, you know, blah, 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 blah. But this draft just feels different. Like, I feel like there's so many quality players that everybody next Thursday or 2 Thursdays from now is going to get a star. Like, it just feels different this year.
Yeah, I agree. Like you said last night, there's a solid 40 to maybe 50-ish players that you could argue could go in the first round this year.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you're talking anywhere between 10 and 20 guys that are going to be second-round picks that could have went higher.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, if you're one of those teams who stocked up with draft capital and you got early on picks, I mean, you know, some of these teams getting two picks in the first and second, I mean, you potentially have four starters that are going to come in for the next few years and actually just rock out. Like, it's wild how good there is in here.
Yeah, it's crazy, especially since you got players like Caleb Fairley out of Virginia Tech, that corner. I believe it's Virginia Tech.
Mm-hmm.
He's dropping to a lot of mocks in the first of the second round because of that injury when people like Mel Kiper and even myself have him as a first round talent. Like, I'd be happy if the Vikings took him at 14.
Yeah, he's going to be good. I think he is going to be able to overcome any kind of injury, and I don't think we'll have a problem with him. But, you know, with the amount of talent that there is, of course you're going to be nervous because you don't want to miss it.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. And then there's a lot of, like, we talked last week, a lot of controversy around quarterbacks because a lot of those teams in that top 10 need a quarterback. And there's a couple there that are going to be developmental in, like, Mac Jones, and you can even say Trey Lance. It's interesting to see how high people are going to reach for those players, too.
Here's a guy, too. I'm looking at Walter Football, who always has great mocks. I always think his quality stuff. We both, as of last night, had the Raiders at 17 taking Tevin Jenkins to tackle. He has Tevin Jenkins falling to 45 to the Jaguars.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean, it's just the amount of uncertainty between these teams is just it's mind-blowing.
Yeah. I saw a mock today that had that Trask kid from Florida going at the end of the first round. I was like, what?
Oh, the quarterback?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have Kyle Trask going to the Patriots, and this one at 46. Yeah. I'm looking at, you know, Kadarius Toney, who could be a great wide receiver, going 52. There's a lot of players that can really – Terrence Marshall, there's another wide receiver that I see a lot of people are really putting a lot of high praise on.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of people have Baltimore take him in the first round. They have him mocked at Baltimore at 58 in the second round.
Yeah. Yeah, I think last week I gave
–
Yeah, I think I gave – I think I gave Green Bay him in the first in my last mock, if I remember correctly.
Landon Dickinson, the center from Alabama, a lot of people have him with a low first round. They got him going 63rd. I mean, like, that's a lot of uncertainty. Bateman at 60 blows my mind.
Yeah, no, there's no way Bateman gets out of the first round. There's no way. There's too many wide receiver needy players at the end. Like, you could argue Green Bay. You could argue Tampa Bay if he's there. Get another weapon.
Yeah, because we were talking last week about Elijah Moore going there. You know, another guy that I had mocked low in mind, I think to the Saints, they had Eric Stokes, the corner from Georgia, going 69th in the third round.
That's crazy. That's craziness.
I'm just looking at some of these picks. They have us taking Davis Mills, the quarterback out of Stanford, in the third round.
I've read a lot of that have the Vikings taken that, I forgot his first name, but Mond from Texas A&M in the third.
Mond. Is he a quarterback?
Yeah, he's the Texas A&M quarterback.
I wonder what they have. Asante Samuel Jr. in the third round, 82. I don't think that's going to happen. Oh, Kellen Mond. There we go. They got him going to Pittsburgh at 87.
Yeah.
Dylan Moses, the linebacker from Alabama, they go going 88.
That's crazy. That low?
I don't know. It makes me wonder where a lot of this is going to go here. I'm just going to check in with our guy here. Dang it. I just realized, I'm like, oh, we're definitely past the banter portion of the show into the moving to the next spot. You know, I guess I was going to ask you this too. Second round, what are you kind of hoping Minnesota can get?
I know I talked to you last night because we talked about our 2.0 mocks. I changed the Vikings pick from what we talked about last night where I had them taking Mac Jones.
Oh, that's right. We don't have a second round pick.
No, we don't have one.
I was so confused. I forgot we traded him for Ngakoue.
Yeah, no, we traded Ngakoue for a third. So we essentially traded a second pick for a third pick. That's a real win.
God. Unbelievable. That's what threw me off here. Looks like Jagged him out here. Travis, you with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, how we doing, sir?
Good, man. Sorry, I guess I was late. I thought you guys were calling me. Sorry about the miscommunication there.
No, you're good. We're sitting there banting, and I was like, oh, crap. I wonder if I didn't give him the number, because that tends to be my problem, is I usually don't communicate very well. guys,
cool.
This is Travis Waitman coming with us. Last time we chatted, you were talking Chargers, if I remember right.
Yes, sir.
Man, if you got over to your Broncos. You said it makes for the better writing for you. That's awesome to hear. I do got to ask you one thing before we get into this fun time that is talking football. Did you watch?
Okay.
Did you watch the main event on Saturday of WrestleMania?
Yes, I did.
Was that the best American's women's match ever?
Man, it was terrific. The hair whip to the belly there is something I don't think I'll ever forget. I think I've gone back and watched that 10-second clip on YouTube about 75 times.
It sounded like somebody like slammed a car door.
It was great.
The loudest thing. I was watching that match, and me and a buddy were talking. I'm going, man, they're working so hard that this might be one of the best matches I've seen in this company, let alone.
Yeah, it was great.
God, it was good. So I had to put that out there. Last time we talked a lot about Ciampa and Gargano, I remember, and that kind of slowly started to fall the way you maybe not wanted it to go. So I wanted to get some positivity back in the room here. But I wanted to just jump right in here. I know we're talking a lot of draft stuff here, but I was going over your stuff. And I see an article you wrote that I had never heard about before. Apparently, Denver tried to go for Stafford, too. I did not know this. Can you dig in here for us?
Yeah, that report came out a couple days ago, at least to my knowledge. And, I talk about the offer that they made inside that article, which was, paled in comparison to what the Lions ended up getting. So you can look at it a lot of ways. You can look at it like, the Broncos were looking for an upgrade, but they weren't too serious about it, so it may not look too bad for Drew Lock because they only offered, probably a fourth of what the Rams ended up giving up.
Man.
All right. Hey, Travis, this is Luke. I have a question about
your guys'
Denver's quarterback situation. A lot of people have them trading up to possibly number four with Atlanta to get that quarterback. But I've also seen a lot of mocks that say that the coach trusts Drew Lock for another year and possibly getting him maybe a weapon and a wide receiver or maybe even like some protection at tackle. What do you think they're going to do with that quarterback situation?
Well, I think it's hard to get a complete read on it. I think that unless – I don't think they're going to trade up. I do think that unless somebody like Justin Fields happened to fall to number nine, I think they are going to go ahead and ride with Drew Lock for another season, and that's what I hope they do. I've written about it constantly this offseason because it seems like we've been talking about quarterbacks since Peyton Manning retired, and I hope they give him another year because there's a lot of things people don't consider when they talk about Drew Lock's shortcomings. I think, something like – he hasn't had the same offensive coordinator 2 years in a row since his junior year in high school. There's a lot of the COVID stuff where he didn't get the full off season last year and he played the whole year without Cortland Sutton. So I think those things need to be considered when you're talking about already giving up on Locke.
Do you think if New England comes at him with a haul to take that ninth pick if Fields is there and, Denver could move back to 15 and still do something, would they do that or would they just pull the trigger on Fields?
I think they would do that because, the guy I think that the Broncos should take is Micah Parsons, Penn State linebacker.
Yep.
There's a lot of off-field issues with him, but I think that's the one piece on defense that could make that defense just absolutely elite. And I think he could still be there at 15. So, yeah, I think, you know, if a team like the Patriots offered him a whole bunch to come up there, then, yeah, I think they'd take it.
I have the mock for Micah Parsons at their pick at number 9, which is probably a reach at number 9 because there are a lot of drafts, like you said, taking them in the teens. Do you think that they could address the corner too there at pick 9? Because in a lot of mocks, I see them taking like a Surtain or one of those available corners there early.
I think it's definitely possible. I think when we were talking mock drafts before free agency started, it was absolutely going to be a cornerback there. They signed Ronald Darby. They signed Kyle Fuller. So I think that made it so it's not so pressing of a need. But, you know, a guy like Caleb Farley there at number 9, or like you say, Surtain, that's definitely an option too.
I'm in the boat with you about Micah Parsons. I know in my mock I actually had New England trading 2-9 to take Fields, and then Parsons going at 15 to Denver. Even if they were to move back that far, Parsons gets nabbed. There's a lot of quality talent there. If you needed to make a reach, say you do that trade, doesn't go the way you want it to, where else are you looking?
Aside from Parsons, or you know, if a guy like Farley were to fall down there, there's, you know, even something like a big reach, like one of the safe, you know, we've got Justin Simmons, we've got Kareem Jackson, but you know, if you could get one of those safeties at that spot, you know, I think Jackson's only going to be in Denver for another year. You know, you could shore up that position for quite a while too.
We had Garrett Ballard on last week, and he said that Caleb Farley was the player that everyone is going to regret not drafting in the first round, that he's the guy just because of the injuries and stuff that happened. Do you think that Denver's looking at those injuries and maybe they don't pick him that high just because they are not scared but nervous that they're going to pick a guy that maybe can't get on the field right away or gets re-injured and can't play?
Yeah, he came out and said that himself this week, too. He said he was going to do him like Randy Moss did all those years ago. And, you know, I like him. I like the guy. He's I have him rated a lot higher than Surtain, actually. But, yeah, there is some risk with him. I believe he sat out last year, too. You know, he opted out of the season as well. So, you know, there's some definite question marks there. But I agree with the guy that said that. You know, he definitely will be the guy that teams regret taking. And every mock draft I wrote before free agency, I had him going to the Broncos at number 9 every time.
Do you think there's a play at 9 where they go a guy like Rashawn Slater, the tackle out of Northwestern, or if they did trade back instead of Parsons, like a Darisaw or a, you know, Elijah Vera Tucker, and they try to do something to protect Locke up front?
Yeah, I think that something like that would be an option. You know, we've got the right tackle spot, which is a big question mark for the team. And unless you're a fan of Juwan James, which I haven't found too many Bronco fans that are, and, you know, with good reason, he leaves a lot to be desired. So, yeah, I mean, even if a guy like Sewell fell down to number 9, which I don't think he will, but if he did, I think that's a – I wrote an article tonight about three guys the Broncos just simply couldn't pass up if they fell to number 9, and he was one of them.
Yeah, if he falls to 9 and Denver didn't pick him, I'd probably shut the TV off.
Well, Daniel Jeremiah's recent mock draft, which he just wrote like 2 days ago, he had Slater going at number 8 ahead of Sewell, and he had Denver taking Sewell at 9.
Yeah, Garrett, the guy who was on last week, said that a lot of people had Slater above Sewell for certain reasons, which is crazy in my mind.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And then you did say that the guy that you hope they pick is Micah Parsons, which I think would be a great pick. Who's the one guy that will be there, but you're hoping that they don't pick? Like, in your mind, you're just like, I hope they don't pick this guy.
It's got to be one of those quarterbacks like Mac Jones or even Trey Lance, you know, one of those guys. I don't want it to be quarterback. Now, if Fields falls to 9, then I'd be all over that. But all one of those other two guys, those would be my answer to that.
Maybe it's just me. You know, I mean, like me and Luke could talk about this. But doesn't it seem like people are just undervaluing Justin Fields? The way that the NFL is right now, he is the prototypical – it's kind of how they call the NBA has turned into the three-point league. You know, Fields is almost the perfect guy for a lot of these teams. And I don't see the fascination of Mac Jones and things like that. I mean, you agree with that?
100%. I don't know where the love for Fields got lost, but I mean, I know Zach Wilson looked amazing at his pro day, but man, I still would want Fields even more. I mean, I think he can do everything that you want a quarterback to do. And, you know, my least favorite argument is that Ohio State quarterbacks don't fare well in the NFL. I mean, please spare me with that because it's just ridiculous. It's, you know, the guy can do it all. I mean, he's accurate. He's mobile. He, you know, throws with a lot of velocity. I mean, give me that guy if he's there at 9 all day.
Yeah, for those people who argue Ohio State quarterbacks don't pan well, my argument back is always, tell me an LSU quarterback before Joe Burrow who came out last year that's fared well.
Yeah,
it's true.
Or a Notre Dame quarterback that was ever good besides Montana, if you want to go way back. I mean, you know, the list goes on and on.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't think it's their fault. It's just, you know, if the teams run a different system that doesn't necessarily work, sometimes they're just not going to come over and you know, translate to the league perfectly. You know, I was watching some tape today when I was laying on my deathbed, and, you know, watching the Niners offense, if you were to put Justin Fields in there where they're running four people, where you had your deep man, your side man, you got your hook, and then you got your slant on the left. And I'm watching how much Garoppolo wasn't hitting these guys. And then they showed an exact play from Ohio State. And the way that Justin Fields read that was remarkable. Like, I just don't see, like, the where people are just, I don't know. It blows my mind, man.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I mean, I'm 100% with you. Because I like Locke, and I've been behind him all off season. I can't tell you how many articles I've written on that topic, but that's the one guy I would accept as a replacement.
If they do grab Justin Fields there, if he does fall, do you think he starts day one and then they trade Drew Lock, or do they sit Fields and let Drew have a year to have Fields have a year to sit and learn the system and stuff like that?
No, man, that's a good question. That's a tough one to answer. I think they would probably at least begin the year with Locke and let Fields kind of develop into their system. But I don't think it would be long before Fields got that spot.
Yeah, so it'd be like a Charger situation. Just hopefully a medic doesn't poke his lung.
Yes.
You know, you mentioned you wrote an article tonight about the three guys they can't miss. You said Penny Sewell. Who are the other two guys you put in that article?
Well, Fields was one, and then this other one's just a total dream. But, you know, if somehow Kyle Pitts is still there,
oh, man.
There's no way you're not taking him, even if you have Noah Fant.
Yeah, like me and Ryan talked last week on the show. I mean, even if you had a tight end like Noah Fant, who is not absolutely amazing, but he is one of the better young tight ends in the league right now. You could even put Kyle Pitts, even if you did draft him at 9, out at like a wideout because he runs a 4.440.
Yes, that guy's a freak. He's going to be amazing.
Yeah, you know, I watched some stuff about Kyle Pitts, and I think the more and more it gets down to it, he may be the best player in this draft. I feel like he's going to have that Kittle, Travis Kelce style of like impact he's going to make on a team where he's going to be the number one weapon on a team. And, you know, if he goes to the Dolphins or something like that, you know, ooh.
That's where he's been mocked most recently. I've seen him go in there a lot at number 6.
Getting towards, you know, we're wrapping up here with you, you know, but I did want to ask a couple things about this, and then if Luke still has stuff. What do you kind of want to see in the later rounds from these guys? What do you want Denver to address going into the season out of this draft here?
I would like to see them add, you know, obviously some help along the offensive line, maybe a couple more rotational guys there, maybe a couple more defensive linemen, you know, to, you know, be in the middle of that defensive line. I think we've got the edges pretty well set, and even like another backup, like a running back, you know, add another running back at some point too, because I'm just not a big Melvin Gordon guy, and I hated that they got rid of Philip Lindsay, and so, you know, something a little bit better than the Gordon Royce Freeman combo we've got there.
Yeah, I agree. With the running back, I'm not a big Melvin Gordon fan either. I think he's a little bit in my opinion. I'm going to ask the same question I asked Garrett last week, just because I'm intrigued what you have to say. In your opinion, who's the one player that the team who drafts them in the first round, they are going to eventually regret drafting them in the first round?
Ooh, that's a good question. Let's see. Regret drafting them in the first round. I'm going to say, you know, I don't think all these wide receivers are going to pan out. I'm probably going to say probably like Jalen Waddle, one of those wide receivers. I like Devontae Smith. I think he gets a little bit too much of a knock for his size. So I'll say Waddle. He'll be more of a bust.
Yeah, there's a lot of receivers that could go in this first round. And, I mean, at some point, you know, you're right. They don't all pan out. It's got to be a matter of which one it is. Travis.
Yeah. And
go ahead, sorry.
I just think, yeah, Smith is a better, you know, overall player. I think Waddle's more of a second round, maybe even a third round player. But somebody's going to take him in the first, but I don't see it.
I see. Our board is filling. Paul, we'll get to you in just a quick moment here. I see Jordan's in here. Jordan, what up, man?
I heard Sportscast was back on. I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it. And I was like, hey, mother, I'm doing a show. No, I'm kidding. Didn't believe back on the waves again, sir, talking to the X's and O's. And obviously great to have some cool guests on as well. Keep it out, guys.
Are you wanting to jump in with us for the game?
Oh, are you talking about the classic Uber facts?
Oh yeah, Travis. Last time you were with us, did we get the opportunity to play the one and only game of Uber facts with you?
No, I don't recall that.
Would you like to play a quick game of Uber facts with us for question and answer?
Sure.
All right, let's do it.
Uber facts, the most unimportant things you'll never need to know.
All right, this is the way it works. Luke knows, Jordan knows, Travis, I'm going to tell you how this works. I have four facts. You have to identify which is the fact that I completely made up.
Okay.
These are all, otherwise, all real verified facts. I have four of them. We'll let Travis go first after I read the four. We'll have Jordan jump in second, and Luke will have you close it up. All right, the first fact. The insect that gives that annoying morning buzz known as the Hippotus grandeur or Bengala because of its color can produce more than 300 sounds per minute, but sounds the same. Number two, the average dog can understand more than 150 words. Number three, overall, the Lord of the Rings series received 475 awards out of 800 nominations, making it the most awarded film series in movie history. And number four, Scotland has more than 400 words and expressions for snow. Travis, what is a fake fact?
Oh, boy. Well, I mean, it's going to be a total guess. I'm going to go with the number one.
Number one? Okay. Jordan, what are you thinking?
All right, so it's definitely some good little nuggets that you have in there. It only makes me apropos that you throw out a Lord of the Rings one, knowing how my disdain for that boring trash of a movie that you love. But that being said, I'm going to go with the Scottish one. I feel like the word that they have, like, I feel like it's something different. It's not snow.
Luke, what do you think?
I am going to go with the number – I'm going to go with the Lord of the Rings one.
Lord of the Rings one, okay. You guys are all smart to stay away from the dog because they ever saw can understand more than 150 words.
Nice.
As Jordan put out, I had to throw some Lord of the Rings in there just despite him, so that is the correct fact, Luke. I apologize for that. So they
– Damn it.
which leaves us with our last two. Somebody's taking home the W tonight, and it is Travis himself. That is a completely fake fact. The Bengala is a wrestler that was on Lucha Underground. Has nothing to do with insects. I just decided I wanted to put a Lucha Libre wrestler in a question, and that's how we got there. So, boom. I thought I was going to pull it out, but then you guys all went different ways, and I said, damn it. Travis, go ahead and plug everything you got for us, sir.
You can read my stuff on predominantlyorange.com. Twitter is at TravisWakeman10, the number 10.
Appreciate it, sir. Thanks again for coming on. Glad we can have a little quick wrestling talk as well. And
absolutely.
Sure, we'll chat with you again here as the season progresses on.
All right, man. Sounds great.
Thanks, sir. Travis Wakeman coming with us, and we're going to jump right into it. Paul, are you with us?
We are here, and
oh,
I'm surprised
yeah.
you didn't pull me in for that. Then you could have had four people for that, and we could have each picked a different fact.
So I was going to out of nowhere bring you in at the end and be like, but we have one more dark horse. And then when he got my fake fact right on the first question, I went, damn it, I already lost. I was just like, whatever.
I mean, I definitely wouldn't have gone with the Scottish one. They got 400 words for just about everything.
You know, I'm not going to lie. I didn't even think about this. And whether he picked up on it or not, because I'll randomly talk wrestling with Travis a lot. When I threw in a Lucha Libre wrestler, I was like, oh, wait a minute. He might know what this is. And then he picked it, whether it was or not. And I was like, I've failed. Paul, man, it's so good to have you back on. We're getting, you know, we took a little break on the sportscast here. We were focusing on a couple of the other brands, and we decided last week, we're like, damn it, we need to talk draft. We need to get our team previews. We need to talk to all of our great writers and guests that we've had on before. And immediately, the first night we started, I said, I have somebody I need to get a hold of. That led me to you. Glad to have you back on the show, man. It's so good to chat again.
Oh, good to be here, man. It's, you know I'm always down, so.
So I want to jump right into it here. You guys are sitting there at that sixth hole. What do you want? I mean, obviously, we're going to deep dive a lot more than that, but just selfishly saying, what do you want this team to grab?
So I started the off season with, you know, Parsons no matter what written on a piece of paper, but I got to tell you, I had Parsons 1A, Pitts 1B, and that's flip-flopped for me about January time frame. A lot of that had to do with, you know, I've got some friends that have some people inside the Penn State building, and they came out and said there were some maturity issues with Parsons. And looking at, you know, Flores has gone with the positionless defense, and, you know, he's been moving towards a positionless offense, and there's nobody in this draft that takes you more towards that positionless offense than Kyle Pitts. He's the number one wide receiver on the board. He's the number one tight end on the board. And really, you know, you can make a case between Sewell, Parsons, and Pitts that they're the top three non-quarterbacks in this draft in no particular order. So it's – Miami's got a young line that I think is going to develop. If, you want to, and Parsons is a little bit of a risk there in the top 10. And that leads me to Pitts easily.
I agree. That's where I have Pitts going to the Miami Dolphins at 6. I want to ask you, just because before the Deshaun Watson allegations over this offseason so far, a lot of people had the Dolphins possibly trading Tua and some picks for Deshaun. Is there any chance we see a quarterback off the board from the Dolphins in round one?
No. No, it's the Deshaun Watson thing was a special situation. He is a top five talent, and Tua may or may not get there, but, you know, you don't normally give up on that guy in the second year if he's shown promise. A lot of the players in the building believe in him. Ryan Fitzpatrick's a huge fan of him. And, you know, it's – Deshaun was a special case, and I'll be honest with you. I didn't want to make the move anyhow. I thought it was going to cost too much capital, given the fact that I thought you could win with Tua and the way that Miami's building, I thought it was going to actually set them back to make that move, because they're, you know, a couple players away, and giving up that capital is going to delay that and kick the can down the road. So for me, I wasn't in the Deshaun Watson camp. And then as soon as this stuff started to come out, I'm like, I am out.
Do you think there's any chance that Atlanta starts giving off those Kyle Pitts vibes and essentially try to rake you over the coals to get you to move up to 4 to take them?
It's possible, but in all honesty, I think you're going to see – I know Carolina took Darnold, but I think you're going to see Carolina and Denver and possibly even, you know, somebody outside of the top 10 start trying to beg, borrow, and steal to come up with Atlanta. I think Atlanta is going to be in that Matt Ryan camp for a couple more years, watching Tom Brady, watching Drew Brees, watching them play to, you know, 40 plus 12 – whatever age that they're at now. They're going to hope that they can build around Ryan and try to drive towards that championship while they've still got what they've got there. I don't think they're going to make it there, but it's very hard for them to give up on Matt Ryan down in Atlanta at this point.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. What do you think or hope that the Dolphins will do at pick 18, since you guys got two first-round picks?
My biggest hope is I've said this on the show numerous times. I hate the 18th pick. I hated it last year. I hate it this year. For me with that pick, now, if Miami were to go Pitts at number 6, we're going to assume that at this point based on that. I would, if I see Parsons start to slide to anywhere around pick 10 or later, I would hope that Miami actually trades up and takes two of the top three position players outside of the quarterback room in this entire draft in Pitts and Parsons. If Miami took Pitts and Parsons, that draft is an A-plus for me. If they were to stand pat, I think that's going to be a wide receiver possibly, or an edge rusher.
You know, you guys got 50 and 36 in the second round as well. So, I mean, you have the weapons to move up. But it's a thick draft. It's, you know, I almost don't know if it's worth moving up, because there's so many good things. I mean, I had you guys grabbing Najee Harris at 18. I thought getting somebody that's familiar with Tua, you know, I thought it'd be a fantastic idea. But I've also seen them just, you know, wait it out and grab like a Travis Etienne at 36, which is another quality running back.
Man, you missed both of them. You took two out of three of the top four guys, really, and you missed my biggest target, which would be Javonte at 36.
So who do you want? Like, do you want to grab a running back?
Yeah. I've got Javonte Williams in most of my mocks at 36. I'm a lot higher on Kenneth Gainwell than some of the other folks are. I mean, he sat out the year, so he kind of lost a little ground. But really, he should be right there in that top four conversation. And then there's a lot of guys I like at the running back position. We actually just did our running back preview the other day. There are a lot of guys I like at the running back position as the draft wears on, and it's going to depend. If Miami's planning to platoon Myles Gaskin, you don't take a running back in the first round. If you are planning to have somebody be your bell cow, at that point I could see potentially going Najee, but in all honesty, one of them will be there at 36. It's been so rare that three running backs have gone in the first round in the past 20 years. In most years, maybe one goes, maybe two. Three, I think, has happened twice in the 2000s.
Yeah, I mean, I think Pittsburgh's the only other team that has any need for it, especially losing James Conner the other day. So you're
yeah.
pretty safe, I mean, to be fair.
Mm-hmm.
Is there any chance that the Dolphins trade back as well from six to, like, maybe the team, someone jumping up to maybe grab, like, Justin Fields or Trey Lance there just to earn some more draft capital?
If Atlanta goes Pitts, I think you see that happen. If they get the right offer. Chris Greer, like, it's, God, the beautiful mind way he looks at the draft. I mean, if you look at the top 10, there's two picks in there that are via this team, via that team, via Miami already. So, yeah, if he gets the right offer, I could absolutely see Greer moving around, especially if his guy's off the board. If Greer can accumulate first-round picks, I've never seen anybody accumulate first-round picks the way Chris Greer's been doing.
Do you have any interest at six at one of the big two tackles?
No, not really. I think Miami can solidify their offensive line. I think their offensive line is better than advertised because of the fact that I do think Austin Jackson worked out, much to my surprise. I was not an Austin Jackson fan going in, even though the physical potential was there. I like Robert Hunt, and I'm a huge, huge Solomon Kinley fan. I mean, it's if you go back and listen, I actually did a show with Jamie Nails, who probably turned in the best guard season in Miami history, even though they've got some better career guys at guard. We talked extensively about Solomon Kinley, and, you know, we're both big fans. If Jamie's a big fan, I'm a big fan.
So I've seen a couple, like, that have, like, the Bengals taken Ja'Marr Chase there at five to pair him back with Joe Burrow. If Atlanta takes Pitts at four and the Bengals, let's just say they take, like, Penei Sewell, like a lot of people have. Is there any chance that you can see the Dolphins draft either Waddle or Smith to pair them back up with Tua there?
I mean, all right, so Atlanta took Pitts and Cincinnati took Penei?
Oh, let's just say they, Cincinnati takes, like Penei or like Micah Parsons, because you said that Micah Parsons on your top things. Could you see them try to get a pairing person at wide receiver like Waddle or Smith, who Tua both has relationships with from Alabama?
Oh, in that scenario, I could see them easily going Ja'Marr Chase, Devontae Smith, or Jalen Waddle, all of whom I think are going to do well at the next level.
What's something that you're looking to see come later in the draft? Obviously, we talked about the running back situation, which it looks like a producer came in. 2012 was the last time three running backs went in the first. Trent Richardson, Doug Martin, David Wilson. So almost 10 years ago, which is wild to think about with how many running backs have come in this league. But what are you looking for, you know, later? Like what's some positions that you know you don't need to rush on, but – just getting, you know, body A and body B is going to do a lot to help solidify this roster.
I mean, the biggest need for me is if you look down the roster, their top center right now is Matt Skura, who, you know, if you're talking 2 years ago before he got hurt, was one of the top centers in the game. But you're banking on a lot and betting on a lot there. And this is probably one of the best center drafts I've seen in a while. You've got guys like Josh Meyer, Quinn Miners, who Brian Flores was very reportedly high on after the Senior Bowl, Creed Humphrey, who just tested out of the building at his pro day, and a handful of others there as well. So it's with that being their biggest need and the fact that you rarely see a center go in the first round, I think Creed Humphrey does go somewhere in the second, and Quinn Miners is anywhere from the back end of the second round to the beginning of the fourth round, with Josh Meyer being a later on guy and, you know, like I said, a handful of others. So I do want to see Miami take a center. If they were to miss on the running backs early, you've got a handful of guys later on like Ramondre Stevenson, and others. And to be honest with you, part of the reason why I'm not huge on the wide receivers after Pitts, which I do count him as a wide receiver slash tight end, is the fact that this is such a deep receiver class this year, especially if you're looking for an interior guy. Later on, a guy like Jalen Darden could come in and help you out. Cade Johnson, Tutu Atwell, I'm a big fan of. It's the wide receiver prospects are so deep in this draft that it's a struggle for me.
Yeah. What's at pick six, what's the one thing you hope the Dolphins that they don't do? Like, if you see them do it, you're putting your palm to your forehead.
I mean, I can't say punter, can I?
You can say Mac Jones.
I mean, look, I don't want Miami to go quarterback. If you want to grab one of the late round developmental guys that you think could turn into something later on, fine. But I don't want to see him go quarterback. I mean, there's not a defensive tackle worth taking at six, not even Christian Barmore. I guess any defender outside of Micah Parsons, I wouldn't want to see Miami even look at in the top 10.
You know, you didn't mention Landon Dickerson for center, did you?
No, I did not.
Do you know, I've seen a lot of people have him go late first round, you know, could be early in the second. Does he do nothing for you?
Oh, his talent does everything for me. His leadership does everything for me. The fact that the guy's standing on, you know, two peg legs at this point already at, you know, what, 21 years old, I'm out.
Yeah,
like, we already had a center with bad legs in Mike Pouncey, and it was great for the six games of the season that he played.
That's fair. Because I'm looking at it, I was like, man, I'm surprised you didn't mention Landon Dickerson, especially if, you know, he slots in at 36 or whatever, and you're like, huh. But that's a fair take. You know, that's kind of the Caleb Fairley take, where he's got so much talent that people are just scared of his injury.
Yeah, I'll be honest, I'd take Caleb before I'd take – Caleb's at least on my draft board. Dickerson's not.
That's fair.
I removed him completely. It's just I can't take. I mean, everything on the offensive line stems from your base, and if you can't get your base under you because it's just so broken, I mean the number of injuries Dickerson's had throughout his career. I don't have the exact number in front of me offhand, but it's we did a breakdown on it, and God, it's horrific.
I'm going to ask you, because I asked everyone else, and I just like to know people's opinions. Who do you think is going to be the biggest, I don't want to say bust, but the biggest player that you think someone's going to regret drafting in the first round? Like, who do you think that person will be?
Well, outside of Dickerson?
Outside of Dickerson. I don't even know. I don't even think he's drafted in the first round, so.
I think Kansas, like, I legit would not be shocked if Kansas City took him. I would not be shocked.
Or Tampa. Tampa could take him.
Or Tampa. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would not be shocked.
God, I've got a number of guys I could possibly go with here. I'm going to go with a guy I like, but I think people are going to be disappointed. I'll give you the reason why after. I think people are going to be disappointed if they were to go after Trayvon Morrig from TCU, the safety. I think he's going to be a very good safety in the NFL, but I think somebody's going to get a better safety if they draft him into the right system, if they take Richie Grant in round two.
Fair enough.
UCF. I mean, Richie Grant, I don't know if you guys have watched much tape on him. I've been high on him since before last year's draft. I was hoping he'd come out last year. He didn't. I think there's going to be a couple edge rushers that come off the board that aren't going to be as good as I think Carlos Boogie Basham is going to be at the next level. He's another one that I was looking at hoping he'd come out last year.
Oh God. So here we go. Lengthy injury history. Missed notable chunks of four different college seasons. Suffered a torn ACL right knee in 16. Season ending ankle. Right ankle in 17, ankle sprain left that caused him to miss most of 18, and a torn ACL left in late in 2020. Possible pup-less candidate who might not be fully healthy to even start the season. So he tore both of his ACLs and hurt both of his ankles. Good God.
Yeah, I'm going to go with who is Landon Dickerson, and I'll take healthy centers for 1,000, Alex.
Gosh. Yeah, I mean, you're right, too, because his intangibles are there. He knows how to control that line together. He knows how to get everyone to move together. Like, he's so smart, but, man, you're not wrong. He just can't – he can't stay out there.
I mean, Ben Stein's smart, too, but he ain't going to last the season either. I mean, it's just
– He might be able to stand the whole time, though.
Let's say he'll be able to walk along the sideline. Let's go with that.
So this is the last question I got, then Luke, it's all you. If I were to say at 6, 18, 36, and 50, what's your perfect draft? Where if everything just goes exactly how you want it, you're going yes, 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 yes.
If Miami were to go Pitts at 6, Parsons were to slide to 18, Javonte Williams at 36, and Richie Grant at 50. I would just, like, I would be over the moon. Literally, we're going to be doing our live draft coverage on our YouTube channel this year again. I would just be insufferable to listen to as that draft wore on.
Yeah.
It's, you know, my fiance is going out to Pennsylvania for the kids' basketball tournament, and like she just wouldn't want to come home for an extra week. I mean, it just I'd be horrific to live.
I just got one more question for you too. Who's the one player that you think will go in the first round that people are gonna regret not taking, whether it's Parsons or something like that? Why do you think that?
I mean, Parsons definitely, because he's a top three guy, like I said, top four if you're going to count the quarterback position as far as talent goes. There are a lot of special things that he does. If you go back and watch his tape, I would urge you to watch something that you may not have, and a lot of folks haven't. Watch his backhand at any given time. So he does a very good job securing the runner, getting the head in front, wrapping up with the one arm, wrapping up with the other arm, but that back hand is always seeking the football. And that's a huge thing to me. He's good in pass coverage. He's great at that. He can be an edge rusher, but the way that he is always trying to separate the runner from the ball is massively underrated and underappreciated, because he is automatically, like I said on our show, having Parsons alone started at linebacker for the Dolphins would add at least 6 turnovers for the year to that defense, whether it's forced fumbles. I think he gets an interception. He is going to add 6 turnovers to that defense. As far as other guys, another guy that I mentioned already, Boogie Basham, he could creep into the top end of that first round. And I've never seen anybody play the read option as well as Boogie does. And that's a huge factor in today's NFL. The read option is growing more and more popular. And normally you see it be something where they force the defensive end into a bad position, and he comes through and breaks down in such a way, and he's got such short area quickness that he makes the offense either make the bad decision or freeze. And he can play both the quarterback and the running back with that athleticism, and that's huge. And he's undervalued as an edge rusher as well. So those are two guys I think if people pass on in the first round, Parsons for the reasons I mentioned, and then Basham because I think people are going to pass on him for other edge guys that I don't think are going to be as successful. So that's a big one for me.
Paul, man, it's always a pleasure having you on. I'm glad we were able to get you in here as we started getting back into the swing of things with all of our contributors. Plug everything you got as always, man. Let everyone know where they can read you, hear you, see you, touch you, feel you.
Good Lord, I got a list, man. It's you can find me out on Twitter at Fanatic_pick, as well as my co-host Brian Catanzaro at Brian Cat NFL. You can also follow the show at On the Fin Side. We're out there on YouTube, and then for our we've gotten back to doing the audio podcast as well. We joined in with Minute Media and the Fan Sided Network as the official Dolphins podcast, partnered up with Fin Fanatic. I'll occasionally throw an article up here and there. But, yeah, we're on Spotify, iHeart, iTunes, YouTube. God, if you got a podcast or a podcast location, we're probably on there. You know, give us a listen. We have a lot of fun with the show. We're going to be starting to post our position previews up shortly. We've been recording them out on YouTube Live, and we're going to throw them on our podcast as well. So you can listen to us on the go. You can watch us. You can whatever the hell you feel like doing. I don't listen to it, but you can.
Fantastic. Paul, thanks again, man, coming on. And once we get to them team previews this summer, you know I'll be hitting you back up.
Dude, anytime you guys want me on, I'll make it work.
All right. That's what I like to hear. Thanks a lot, Paul.
Thank you.
Paul Pickett, ladies and gentlemen.
Bye, Felicia.
Coming in here fantastically dropped. By the way, Luka Doncic, my lord, Dallas is down 113-111 to Memphis. Grayson Allen's punk ass from Duke didn't trip hard enough because he missed both free throws. Dallas gets the ball, 1.8 seconds, calls timeout. There's Boban. Inbounds it to Doncic. Doncic at the three-point line is falling over and just kind of does this one-handed throw up in the air and sinks a three-pointer to win the game at the buzzer.
That's because Luka's the GOAT.
Everybody is so dumbfounded. Now, Dallas is running nuts. Memphis is just standing there confused. And Luka just walks like he's been – Tim Hardaway is going to give him a German suplex, it looks like here. Luka Doncic just puts his arms up in the air and just walks smiling, looking at the crowd like, this is just what I do.
Luka Doncic is a pimp.
Oh, my gosh, that was awesome. Hell of a shot. Hell of a shot. He only had, 9 points in the first half, too, and then he just kind of went nuts. I want to thank Travis Wakeman and Paul Pickett Jr. coming on bringing that knowledge. Having some fun here up on the sports cast. On the WrestleCast. What did he say? Luke chiming in sounding like Steve Urkel.
Steve Urkel's tight, bro. Steve Urkel got some, too.
Demtra's coming at it. We got some folks listening here.
Before we get into our mock draft here, I want to run something by you quick. And I read this today at work. Get it.
All right.
If you're the New York Jets, right, so the New York Jets this year have 11 draft picks in the 2021 draft, which is one of the most. In 2022, they have 12, where they have two first-rounders in both years. Next year they have 2 seconds. This year they have 2/3. I read an article. If you're the Jets at 2, do you take Penei Sewell and pair him with Becton and have 2 gigantic human beings at your tackle? and then do you use all those picks you have to trade back into the top 7 and draft Justin Fields?
Wow. Dude, so if you had Penei Sewell and Mekhi Becton, your quarterback is going to be protected.
For 10 years, 15.
Damn. Okay, well, I guess let's look at this here. You said they have – I wonder if there was a draft scale. Draft scale on trading up in – have you ever seen that where there's trade value chart. This is what I was looking for, the NFL draft value chart.
Yeah.
So you said pick 7?
Yeah, because I'd imagine someone's going to take – I think Justin Fields will fall to right around the 7th pick, which is where who picks 7?
The Lions.
The Lions, yeah. 7th, 8th, right around Carolina's pick. And
all right, so what are the second-round picks that they have?
The actual pick, I don't know. I want to say So this year they have the two first, which is 3rd and 22nd, I know.
Well, yeah, the second pick.
Yeah, the second pick is the 23rd.
2 and 23rd. So the 23rd pick has a value of 760 points is what they call it. The 7th pick has a value of 1,500 points. So half of the value with that.
Yeah, and then next, and they have 2/3 this year, and then they have 2 seconds next year.
So they also have pick 34.
Yeah.
34 is 560. So if you were – okay, if Fields is there at 7 and I'm the Jets and I offer you the 23rd pick and both of my first-rounders next year, do you do it if you're Detroit?
Absolutely. Detroit, yeah, they're rebuilding. They just traded their quarterback for Jared Goff, who, like you said last week, he's been just handed the job every year.
Yep.
So they're rebuilding. They didn't trade. They released Kenny Golladay, who was the best offensive weapon. They got their running back in DeAndre Swift, but they're rebuilding. There's no doubt about it. I'd take 3 first-round picks for pick number 7. Absolutely.
You know, and I guess if you're the Lions, I mean, I have them taking Ja'Marr Chase, so you could still get a, you know, Rashad Bateman, Elijah Moore. You can still get yourself a wide receiver at 23, and then you have 2 more first next year.
Or you could even get at the end of that, like 23, you could get like one of the edge rushers, like if you want to help defense get pressure on the ball, especially with the quarterbacks you're facing in the NFC North and Kirk Cousins and Rodgers, who have proven that they're both top 10 quarterbacks in the league statistically.
Yeah, I mean, you can grab Ojulari, Quiddy Pay might be there, Jason Owa.
Yeah.
I mean, there's options. Boy, that is an intriguing-ass thing.
Isn't that crazy to think about?
Mm-hmm. Wow. I would do it, and if I'm the Jets, I'd be willing to give it up.
Yeah,
because now I got Justin Fields.
You have 2 solid tackles for the next bajillion years.
Now, here, let me kind of flip this on you in a way. If they really, really think Zach Wilson's going to be the guy, you know, who's to say they don't try to move up with the Bengals to take Sewell.
Yeah.
And then they
can
still get
true.
Their quarterback.
The only reason I don't think it'd work with the Bengals is because I don't know if the Bengals would drop down to 23. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they're rebuilding too. I mean, yeah, they got Joe Burrow and they have Mixon and they have some good young wide receivers in Tyler Boyd and
T. Higgins
and stuff, but like they still need a true number one, which Ja'Marr Chase fit, and they still need offensive tackle. I mean, Joe Burrow tore his ACL because his offensive line sucks.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'd be more intrigued with Atlanta at 4 than the Bengals at 5. Like, could they get a deal done where they trade? Where they take maybe Zach Wilson at 2 if that's their guy, and then trade back up to number 4 and take Penei Sewell number 4 with Atlanta maybe.
Yeah, because then Atlanta could still get their weapons to try to put around Matt Ryan if they are going to go that Matt Ryan route.
Yeah, and it actually would make more sense with Atlanta because Atlanta, I think, only holds like 7 picks in this year's draft. So if they got that 3rd this year and then 2 first next year or whatever the case may be at that 4 for that 4th pick, I'd take it still, rebuild.
Yeah, because when you're looking at the 4th, that goes up another 300 points, so you need to add something else in there.
Yeah, which could be one of those 3rds that they have 2 of this year, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's intriguing. So then you start getting into those weird-ass situations where it's like, but if you're able to get the 4, why not just take Kyle Pitts?
Yeah. That's the other thing, too. Yeah. Who knows? I just thought it was intriguing that they could have two top-tier tackles and still get a top-tier quarterback.
You know, in my opinion, I think the Justin Fields at seven, if he's there, is the best way to go, because I still think Justin Fields is going to be the best quarterback not named Trevor Lawrence out of this draft.
I agree. And I think Denver is – not Denver, sorry. The Lions are more likely to make a trade and trade back for future capital than, like, Atlanta or even the Bengals would.
God, it's interesting. It's just interesting to see all these scenarios because they keep coming out, like, daily. Like, every day something new comes out about this draft. Wow, they almost blew that no-hitter, but he ended up getting the no-hitter.
Dang.
It was a big play at first base, but they got it.
Those lucky fuckers.
Rondon.
Rondon?
Was this his name? Rodon.
Rodon.
He beat the guy, too. There goes the perfect game.
Did he hit someone?
Yeah, he hit the guy in the foot.
Dang, that sucks for him, I guess.
So there goes at least you got a no hitter out of it.
Yeah.
So do you want to go? Let's go to these mocks then, because I'm intrigued here. With I know you made more changes since last night when we kind of did a little mini powwow here.
I got you right here.
Number one, I'm assuming Trevor Lawrence just doesn't move.
No, but I have him. Kyle Pitts. No.
Well, you have Kyle Pitts. No, you don't.
I lie. No, it's Trevor Lawrence. No explanation needed.
Zach Wilson at two to the Jets.
I do have Zach Wilson number two to the Jets in this one as well.
San Francisco. I still have Mac Jones, even though I think I'm going to get swayed out of it, I hope, before it's over.
So I switched this one, not from my one that we talked about on the show last week, but when I talked to you last night, I put it back to Mac Jones.
Okay. What made you go that way?
I just, like, in the one we talked about last night, I thought maybe Justin Fields here, but I think Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch for San Francisco are literally going to overthink the Ohio State quarterback thing. I think they are. I think they're going to buy into the hoopla that no one good ever comes out of Ohio State at the quarterback position, and he's just not going to – they're just going to go with Mac Jones, I think.
Yeah, I still think that's gonna be it's gonna be the biggest bust in the first round. I really do. So I had the Falcons and Dolphins trading picks here. I had the Dolphins at four now taking Kyle Pitts.
So here's my surprise for you, and you're gonna call me crazy. I have Atlanta trading with the Cowboys here, and the Cowboys taking Kyle Pitts.
Wow.
I've read a lot of stuff, and everything I read says Jerry Jones is infatuated with Kyle Pitts.
He's smart enough to put weapons around his quarterback. He's the opposite of the Packers.
Yeah, no. I had the Cowboys taking, I think, last week on the show, I had him taking Patrick Surtain. Yeah. I mean, last year Jerry proved he doesn't draft defense in the first round. I mean, he went out and got CeeDee Lamb last year to help his quarterback, and this year I don't know. I'll probably switch it, but right now I'm going to go Kyle Pitts to Dallas at number one.
That's intriguing, man. I like it. I like the – I don't know. You're going to hear me say this a lot over the next couple of weeks, but this draft is going to be one of the most unpredictable drafts that we've seen in a long time. It just is. And it's mostly the first round that throws us in such a loop. But number five, I have the Bengals taking Penei Sewell to protect Mr. Burrow.
I have the same thing.
Then at six, I have the Falcons taking the Matt Ryan successor in Trey Lance.
I have at number six the taking Ja'Marr Chase.
Ooh, nice. I have Ja'Marr Chase going at seven to Detroit.
I have Jalen Waddle going seven to Detroit.
I then took Rashawn Slater, the tackle from Northwestern, to go to Carolina to protect Darnold.
So I have another trade here.
Ooh.
I have the New England Patriots trading up with Carolina. I have them trading up with Carolina and taking Justin Fields, the Patriots.
So you're having them jump Denver.
Yep. Because I agree with what what's his name? The Denver guy we just talked to. Yep, I agree with Travis. I think if at 9, if Justin Fields is still there, Denver pulls the trigger.
You know, I've seen a lot of mocks where they have New England trading up with Dallas at 10 to get Justin Fields, which kind of confuses me. And, you know, Dallas isn't going to take him.
No.
Unless they think for some reason the Eagles are going to take him.
I think they're sold on Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, so I don't understand where, like, guys like Kuiper and stuff have them trading to 10. Because what are you having to jump over? If anything, it should be – so I have the Patriots trading with Denver at 9, so then that way the Broncos go back to 15 and can still get Micah Parsons, and then the Patriots get Justin Fields at 9. But I think yours might be a little more reasonable because you might want to jump Denver.
Yeah. Yeah, I have the Broncos staying where they're at just because the top 4 quarterbacks are gone, and I have them taking Patrick Surtain.
Okay. Yeah, I have the Cowboys at 10 taking Patrick Surtain Jr.
So I have the Falcons at 10 after the trade for the 4th pick with Dallas, and they get Trey Lance. So I have the same player you do. I think that they can get him at 10.
So interesting. So you don't have Denver pulling the trigger on Trey Lance?
Nope.
At 11, I have the Giants taking Devonta Smith.
At 11, I have the Giants taking Micah Parsons.
Oh, okay. 12, I have the Eagles grabbing J.C. Horn, the cornerback out of South Carolina.
So I trade.
Okay.
So with the Justin Fields trade with the Patriots jumping from 15 to 8, I now have Carolina jumping from 15 to 12 with the Eagles, and I have them taking Sean Slater at 12.
Oh, so we both have Slater going to the Patriots or the Panthers. You just get him a little bit later.
Yeah, okay. I have him jumping here in front of the Vikings and the Chargers because they trade back to 15 with the Patriots.
Yep, and most likely those two teams are taking tackles. So that makes sense. I agree with that. With that, I have the Chargers taking Christian Darrisaw at 13 tackles in Virginia Tech. Yep.
Yeah, I have the same Vikings, thing.
And then Elijah Vera Tucker at 14.
I have the same thing there.
So that makes sense why you would have Carolina jump up. Okay. I already kind of said this. I have Michael Parsons at 15 to the Broncos.
So I have the Eagles here with the trade with Carolina, and I have them getting Devonta Smith here.
Okay. And then the first half of the first round, I have Jalen Waddle going to the Cardinals.
I have them getting J.C. Horn to replace Pat Pete.
That was my, like, in parentheses pick. You need to replace Pat Pete, but if Waddle's still there, how do you not give another weapon to Kyler? I have the Raiders at 17 grabbing Tevin Jenkins to protect Derek Carr.
I have the same thing.
Dolphins at 18, I am taking Najee Harris, running back.
So I have the Dolphins trading back to pick 27 with Baltimore. And I have Baltimore at 18 taking Jalen Phillips, the edge rusher from Miami.
Oh, from Miami? Okay. 19, I have Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah from Notre Dame, the linebacker.
I have the exact same pick.
20, I have Greg Newsome the second, the cornerback from Northwestern going to the Bears.
I have the same pick.
Then I have Jalen Phillips going to the Colts at 21.
I have them taking that injury risk and getting Caleb Fairley right here.
Kept it the same for my mock draft 1.0. I have the Titans taking Caleb Fairley myself there.
I have Green Bay trading up with the Titans and grabbing Rashad Bateman, wide receiver, Minnesota at 22.
Ooh. 23, I have the Jets grabbing the edge rusher from Georgia, Azeez Ojulari.
I have the same pick, yep.
Steelers, I have grabbing Travis Etienne from Clemson.
I have the same position, but I have him grabbing Najee Harris.
Makes sense if he's there. Jaguars, I have him grabbing Trayvon Morig from TCU, the safety we talked about earlier.
I have him taking them taking the exact same thing. That 25 pick is hard in mocks because there's just so many people there still that you don't know who to give the Jags to.
I just feel like they need a safety, and I think he's the most sure thing in the first. That's like you could do a first round grade on.
Yeah,
I mean he's got nice speed. He can hawk too. Like he's really good at figuring out which corner needs the help. I mean, he can close a lot of corners, and I think that's which kind of draws me to him. And then I have the 26 taking Quiddy Pay, the edge rusher out of Michigan. Did Luke get booted?
No, I muted my mic. I'm still here.
Oh, okay.
Cut that bitch off!
So I'm choking, people. I got at 26, I have Quiddy Pay to go along with old helmet hitter over there.
I hit the Ravens at 27, taking Jason Oway, as rush out of Penn State.
So I have the Dolphins here with the trade with Baltimore, and they get Travis Etienne here.
Oh, so you still haven't taken a running back just later. Okay, that's
yep.
Good. I got Eric Stokes, cornerback out of Georgia, going to the Saints.
I have him, too, as well.
Like I was saying earlier, a couple of mocks had him going, like, 63rd, which blew my mind. Like, holy
which
crap.
Is crazy, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. This draft, like, anybody in the first two rounds could be first-rounders. It's just, it's nuts. except for Darisaw, apparently. Or not Darisaw, what's his name? Just a guy from Alabama.
Dickerson.
At 29, I have the Packers taking Rashad Bateman.
I have Tennessee here after the trade taking Samuel Cosmi, the tackle.
I then have the Bills taking Elijah Moore at 30, wide receiver out of Ole Miss.
I have the Bills taking Jason Owe. The
Jason
Owe. From Penn State.
I have the Chiefs grabbing Samuel Cosmi, the tackle from Texas at 31.
I have Kansas City taking Zion Collins, the linebacker.
And then at 32, Christian Barrymore going to the Buccaneers from Alabama. Go figure.
I have the same pick, and that pick will probably never change.
Yeah, and it just drives me nuts that he's going to just fall right there.
Rich,
God damn it.
Richer.
Mm-hmm. That's true, man. That's exactly what it is.
And then he's going to get Julian Edelman, like, play through the season.
Yep. Yeah, because Edelman will suddenly come out of retirement and pass a physical.
Yeah.
Go figure. So we kind of steamrolled through a lot of that a lot quicker than I thought. What else you got? Or are we going to call this an early show so I can go back into my grave?
Let's call it an early show for tonight, just since I know you're not feeling good, and then you can rest, and then next week we'll go the full time next week, because hopefully we got a surprise.
Yeah, I'm going to keep working on this one, and hey, maybe we'll have a nice little fun guest to open the show next week. But I want to thank Travis Wakeman from PredominantlyOrange.com coming on here. Also want to thank Paul Pickett Jr. from FinFanatic.com coming on as well tonight. I appreciate Jordan coming in, being Stat Guy Greg from the old Around the Horn. Well, maybe not Greg, just Stat Guy. But Jordan, super producer Scott Storch himself. Always appreciate it. Have some fun playing some Uber Facts. We'll be back next week. Some more team previews going into the draft. Mock Drafts 3.0 as well. And a whole lot more of fun right here at Sportscast Radio. We are out.
Peace out.